Well, here we go. Welcome back. Feels like it's been a little while since we've had one of our podcasts out. So I'm going to jump in this time and we're going to talk about ideal performance state. And you may call that peak performance state. So works for athletes and it also works for us as business professionals. And here what we're looking at is it's a complete and absolute discipline and devotion to a task. Now, your task, if we're in business, might be prospecting. It may well, for the real estate guys, be the listing appointment. It might be negotiating. And in my case, also, it would be calling auctions and negotiating at auctions. So if we're looking for the peak performance state as we get in there, this is what it sort of feels like. It will be calm, you'll be engaged, you'll be focused, you'll be absolutely confident, and then you'll hear it described as you'll be in the flow. And that's for athletes also. So another way of describing it when you look at the research on this is the flow state. And that might be, and that is simply heightened awareness. And in here, what we're actually doing is we're trading energy and creating an easy flow of thoughts and actions. So it does become easier. You know, if you say, hey, look, I'm in the flow, whether it's sparring in the boxing ring, if you've got your rhythm and you're in the flow, it becomes easier. Time changes. You can see what's coming. You can react to it and then come back. It just has that, literally that flow to it. Now, as far as studies go, they've also looked into this and they've gone, okay, what's happening in the brain as this happens? So what they're seeing is that the prefrontal cortex switches off. And the interesting thing about that is the prefrontal cortex is where the voice of doubt is. That's where your inner critic is. That's where you sort of second guess yourself. So for the people that find it hard to get into performance state, or they're struggling with an activity, or they're procrastinating, it's the prefrontal cortex is firing up too much. And that's criticizing you. It's making you second guess what you're doing. It's making you go back and check it all again, as opposed to just getting on with the flow, which is a more confident position to be in. Getting on with the flow, no hesitation. It just happens. And in our team, we talk about IAs, immediate reaction or immediate actions, which is something happens and you immediately just do this in response to it. The thinking has gone. It's just this automatic action. Now, that's going to feel easy, and the real reason it feels easy is you're not burning so much energy. It just runs that way. And another couple of things will happen. One will be you can lose track of time because it's such good fun. Now, you may have experienced this at school, or you may have experienced this at uni or on a work task or something that you really enjoyed doing. You lost track of time because your focus was absolute. You were in the flow with what you were doing there. Can happen with sports also. Again, maybe with the boxing. You might burn up a huge amount of energy in 1 hour physically, but you feel great. Your energy levels are up there and you've just had a great time and the hour went really, really fast. And we all know that time moves at a different rate depending if we're enjoying the activity or not. And it can be on a work task that you really enjoyed and you looked and went, wow, look how long that took. I completely lost track of everything else. I was completely absorbed in there. And reason again, less resistance. All those barriers had broken down. Now, if we look at the brainwaves also and the state we're in, and if you wear an aura ring, you will have a lot more of this personal data come through to you every single day. Normally, we're on beta waves. So if you're on the beta, what you're going to do is you're going to slow down and drop down to the alpha waves. So it does actually slow you down and it calms you down. Now, here's a couple of tips to get into the state or what you're going to experience or how people bring this on. So first one is relaxation. So if I think about things I do, say it's sparring, yeah, pretty easy going. I actually find that really relaxing. Every other thought disappears. There's nothing outside of the ring that I'm thinking about. And I'm just enjoying this as I go through. Imagery, imagining or picturing exactly what you want. So right now, it's a defensive style that I'm trying. I'm just picturing watching people I've seen do that, whether it's Fraser or Foreman, Floyd, Mayweather. It might be these guys. I picture that as I go through. Previously on boxing, like everybody, I picture Ali. Maybe not everybody, but some people. I picture Ali. So I'm relaxed, and I just go with that flow. Like you're watching him in some of those movies, and you're trying to pull that off or some of those videos. Next one is tips of getting into here is goal setting. So if I bring it back to, say, auctions, I had a goal setting, and my goal in every auction is that I'll sell it. That's it. I go in, I'm going to sell this. So if you deliver me a bidder or multiple bidders, I'm there to sell. Even if the vendor doesn't think we'll sell, even if the buyer doesn't think they're going to buy it, even if the agent doesn't think they're going to sell it, I go in, then I'm going to sell it. So you put your goals in there, and then you add around that your self-talk, and you can see how that comes through. Next one, concentration. So absolute concentration on the task at hand, everything else disappears. So let's jump back a bit, and we go back to, say, prospecting. Guys, when you're prospecting, concentrate on prospecting. Nothing else. Everything else disappears. And if you're out there doing doors, that's all you're thinking about. Concentrating entirely on doors. You've got a goal on your connects and your engagement with people and starting that first meeting or contact with them. And now here's the next one, which is interesting, and this is in the studies, which is pre-performance routines. So, and another way to describe it will be rituals. So pre-performance routines, if I think about the Olympic athlete, they will sit there and visualize what's about to happen in their activity, and they'll have a routine. For me, I always, when I put wraps on for boxing, I always do my left hand first, then my right hand. When I put my gloves on, I always put my left glove on and then my right, never the other way around. And when I've had lace-ups and somebody goes to do the right first, I'll take that away and I'll always do the left first. So little rituals that you go through that start triggering the fact that you're automatically going into a state and you're going into that flow. So another way of looking at this, some other tips that I've found on this is training yourself for the activity, training yourself for the focus, starting to think about what you control versus what you don't, and having a focus on the control and letting go of the aspects you can't control. We had this recently in Australia on a case study around a swimmer. And part of before the Olympics, he puts his body suit on. And in his training, he trains for if the body suit rips, because that's just part of the danger of it. So if it rips, it's in his control to take it off, start again, put the next suit back on, and not worry about anything outside of the control, only aspects he can control. Then same thing, the rituals, and the rituals will be the same. What do you do and at what time or what sequence do you do them leading into your peak state? Next one, visualization, we've spoken about already. Visualizing what you want to have happen, not what the problems might be. And that's where most people I'm working with go to. Oh, but they might. Oh, this could happen. Oh, but once this happened, 100 years ago. As opposed to visualizing what you want and the way you intend it to run out. And now the last one sitting in the tips, that set of tips that I picked up was obsession, being absolutely obsessed with it. So if I use auctions as an example, on my way to every auction, I would call out when I was driving in the car, I would call in the car the number set that I needed. So if the property is going to sell somewhere around $1 million, I'm calling out 800 to 1-1, and practicing and rehearsing those numbers. I'm not thinking about $2 million. It's never going to be used on that auction on that. That is me visualizing how the auction goes and how it runs through. Rituals. Yeah, very, very straightforward. Had a song, I play it every time as a young auctioneer, don't do it now, that set me up and got my energy up as I went. Also, ate a chocolate bar, same, those Red Energy chocolate bars. Had one of those every single time, nothing else, just that one. Not in the shop, hunt down the next shop and the next shop and the next shop till I get it and then eat it. Yeah, not very healthy. Probably ate about, I don't know, 2,000-3,000 chocolate bars before I thought, oh, I'll drop that habit out. But that's how it went. And then at the auction, it felt really calm. Completely in control, nothing outside of what we were doing existed, and had mastery of it, and it just flowed. And man, so easy, so easy. And today, obviously, even easier. And just that's that peak state, enjoying every moment of it, hoping it doesn't finish, and just seeing everything. You're literally floating around, watching it in slow motion, in slow time. With our negotiations, and our team knows this, not unusual to negotiate 45 minutes, an hour, and make progress and pull deals together. And we did one last week with Vanessa and her team, and we negotiated $1 million more over 45 minutes and enjoyed, personally, I enjoyed every minute of it. And nothing outside of that negotiation existed. All of my thoughts all the way through were around my client, my customer, my dialogues, my interaction. How am I going to pull this together and what's the best outcome? Absolutely obsessed with it. So here's a couple of points to take us out on. To do this, you need to be calm. You need to be engaged. You need to be confident and you need to be focused. So let's apply that to each task. So if it is getting the listing appointment, you need to be calm. If I sit there and watch people do it and they're not calm, oh, it's just uncomfortable. You need to be engaged because you need to be picking up on everything that's going on and completely focused, and you need to be confident. To be confident at a task, you normally need to train and train and overtrain. So when you do it, you know you've got it nailed. When I go into the auction, I go and, okay, here's an example. When we did the very first, as Ray White, when we did the very first block auctions on TV, I'd phoned an old mate of mine, Blair, who's up in Australia now, because he'd done it with his company prior and they'd had a switch of companies. That's normal. I said, Blair, what's it like? He said, it's nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking. And then he's such a good mate, he said, to make it even worse, he said, not only is everybody watching it on a Sunday night back in the days where people watch TV, not only is everybody watching the block NZ on Sunday night, but every real estate agent's watching it and every single auctioneer is watching you. And they're going to watch everything you do. And that puts the pressure on. So you can imagine how that pressure adds. I go into that. We get in there in the afternoon. This gig's going to go live. It's live on TV. You got nowhere to hide. You don't get to go, oh, can we retake that? No, it runs live. So this is going to kick off at about, just after 7 in the evening. So we're in there at around lunchtime. We're allowed to see the room, have a rehearsal, get ourselves set, get to understand where the reserves sit, etc. So I'm in this enormous room. There's the cameras are getting geared up. The camera at the back of the room looks like a howitzer down there, enormous. Like, man, if that thing could fire rockets, we're dead. And then there was a swooping camera on this side. And in my mind is what Blair's told me. Cheers, Blair. But then I stop myself and I think, this is an auction. And like, this is my space. I'm not scared of auctions. I own it. And I'm better than they are. The bidders are going to be scared. The vendor is going to wonder what happens next. But I own this space. So the calm came back and my focus came back. And that night when we went into the auctions, we had a great night in the auction room. We had fantastic results, tough reserves, fantastic results, but enjoyed every single moment of it. And that was through being confident. I brought back my confidence because I self-talk, said, "Man, you can do this. Like this is the auction room is your gig. You own it. They will do what you tell them." And that's the way it rolled out. So there we go. This is around peak performance state. And that's going to be whether or an athlete, whether like the boys this morning sparring in the gym, or whether it's us as real estate agents and we're prospecting, or we're at the listing appointment, or we're negotiating, or personally for me, negotiating and calling auctions to support my team, that's where it all sits. Let me take you out on this one last point. As I went through the studies, they said the number one priority to get yourself ready is sleep. And I love that. And I think that to me now more so is the key to it. And I think we make excuses around his sleep the way we used to make excuses in New Zealand, 30 years ago, maybe longer, 40 years ago, maybe 40 years ago, around drink driving. So here we go. No one's going to own up to this. But 40 years ago, if you got caught drink driving, everybody went, "Oh, you're a mug for getting caught." Like today, you just go, I won't even use the word of what you are if you drink and drive. Like that's how much the culture changes. But back then, it was getting caught that everybody thought you were dumb for. And they said, because everybody does it. And I think today, sleep is the same challenge. I think everybody has bullshit around how much sleep they need, that most people are in a sleep deficit. And I see it with their inability to focus. I see it with their procrastination. And I see it with their that they can't get into a peak state. And they might be in this bullshit 5 a.m. club. Man, you better be going to bed real early if you're doing the 5 a.m. club. I just don't know how that works for me. It doesn't. It simply doesn't. Because the sleep is there. And if I use the Oura Ring looks at how much sleep I got last night, and it gives me a readiness score. And if you don't get enough sleep, it tells you, don't train. You're not ready. So think about that for the 5 a.m. gig. So sleep 7 to 8 hours without a doubt. 6 hours, it's going to say, hey, you're still in trouble. You're still in deficit. So if we want to be in peak performance state, start with that, guys, please. And I know it's going to be years before most people actually accept it and run with it, the same way that we now run with hydration and we drink a lot of water compared to when I was a kid and we just drank it out of the hose on the back in the backyard. That's going to be one of the changes. So there we go. Peak performance state. I hope you enjoyed it. If that is of interest to you or anything else that we've covered, just message me, text me. We're going to engage with a little bit more outside training. So my number 0274 223377. And obviously we'll have that in all the links. There we go. See you later. Ciao.